Right. Well, I would encourage you to read both of our Torah portions this week, Acharyot Mot and Kadoshim, which is Leviticus 16, starting in verse 1 through chapter 20, verse 27. Our half Torah is Amos chapter 9, verses 7 through 15. And of course, our message today is from the book of Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. So I encourage you to read those. So this week's message is, you know, we're kind of, you know, last week we talked about clothes and what we're supposed to be clothed in and, you know, the garments we're supposed to wrap ourselves in. And so we're kind of continuing with that, but I see kind of a shift here. Where it's like, oh, hey, yeah, we need to wrap ourselves in these things, but some of these things are some keys to godly living. And with that, it's important. You know, I think of the keys that I have in my pockets here. You know, I got different types of keys. You know, this is a Chevy key and a Pontiac key and a Honda key and a house key and, of course, the key to the facilities here. And yeah, these are some great keys to have, right? And they do different things. They start up different things. With that, the Lord wants to start up different things in our lives. And He gives us some keys, some things that we can do to unlock that behavior. And so with that, the first key that I want to start off with is, the key of love. That's the first key. Isn't it all about love? Love of God, love of other people? If we want to have successful living as believers in Yeshua, we are going to love. We are going to love. And you know what love does? Love unites us. Why? Well, a couple of things. Doesn't love overlook a multitude of sins? Yeah. Doesn't love want what's best for the other person, even though it might be tough to share with them something? We have something called tough love, right? Yeah. It's like, I don't want to offend them, but you know what? It's like a kid having his, getting close to that hot stove or that hot oven. We love him enough where we say no. And we, get away. We swing our arms and push him back or, whatever it takes, right? Because if they touch that, they're going to burn themselves. Now, sometimes tough love means allowing them to burn themselves so they won't do it again. I remember when Dorona was young, I could have run over to a hot oven and I probably could have stopped her. I might have made it if I would have tried my hardest. But we kept on telling her over and over again, don't touch, it's hot, sweetie. Don't touch, it's hot, sweetie. Don't touch, it's hot, sweetie. And guess what? There was one day, and of course, I got there just in time to grab her and put that under some running water and take care of that. But you know what? She didn't touch the hot stove ever again after that. You know, it's like that old saying about cats. You know, a cat will jump up and down on a stove all the time. But if the stove is hot, the cat will only do it once and will never do it again. That's kind of tough love, right? Oh, the cat, hot stove. Yeah, sorry. And so with that, tough love sometimes means allowing something that might be not life-threatening, but a little harmful so that they learn that lesson not to touch those things. So the key of love, there's tough love. Love draws us together. Love unites us. And I can't help but think of that passage in Psalm 133. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." So when we love each other and we don't hold on to offenses, we can be united and doing the work that God wants us to do together, which is the essence of fellowship. Working together to advance the kingdom of God. That is what fellowship is all about. And so with that, God wants us to be united in love. So that's one of the keys that we need there. The next key I want to talk about is the key of peace. We need to have it rule in our hearts. Not just, peace, man. Peace isn't holding up two fingers. Peace isn't turning the cross of Jesus upside down and breaking it and putting a circle around it. That is not peace. But peace, love, joy, peace, it's letting the Holy Spirit be in control, right? Letting the Holy Spirit rule in our hearts. And so, I think in John 14:27, where Yeshua says, "I am leaving peace with you." Who's the peace? The Holy Spirit. "I am giving you my own peace. I'm not giving it to you as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." So when we have the peace of God that Yeshua gives us, our hearts will be trouble-free. It might not be an easy road. Remember, we still got the storm that's going on around us, right? But when we take the hand of Yeshua and we let go and let God, in fact, let's say that together. Let go and let God. Let's say that one more time. Let go and let God. So our hearts will be trouble-free, and when we let go, there will be no fear. Because perfect love casts out fear. And so what God wants us to do with this peace is He wants us to share it with the body. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, "Oh, give thanks to Hashem, call upon His name, make His deeds known among the people. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek Hashem be glad." So the whole point here is that when God gives us peace through what He has done for us, we are to give Him all the praise and glory and give a testimony of what He has done, not what we have done. But He has done. And we need to be thankful for that eternal peace that we have with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? Peace." God's faith in God, the God who justifies us. Not the work that we do, but the work that He has already done. That is what justifies us. And our belief in Him is what justifies us. And once we have been justified, we have peace with God through who? Through the Lord, through Adonai, through Yeshua HaMashiach, through Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One. And that's where our peace comes from. So notice that we are justified by this faith, and we should daily thank God for His free gift of salvation, and then share this gift with others. I think we can do that, amen? So let's just take some time right now, and what we're going to do is we're going to sing. Remember, as I've read this portion of passage earlier, as we were reading the scriptures this morning, one of the things that we're supposed to do is we're supposed to sing with each other. So can we sing together? Let's sing some thanks to God.
Thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. Thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. He is good, and His love forever endures. We will bless His name as we all proclaim His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Adonai, Adonai, Baruch Hashem, Adonai, 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 Yeshua, Tehu.
Love does endure forever, doesn't it? His love endures forever. Lord, we thank You for Your ever-present, all-eternal love. We give You all the praise for it. We give You all the glory for it. We praise You that Your love endures forever. So we give You our thanks this morning. In the name of Yeshua. Amen? Amen. Isn't it kind of nice to sing sometimes in the middle of a service? We can kind of remember these things. The next time we hear these songs, we'll be like, oh yeah, I remember. The Spirit was talking to me about this. I remember. We're talking about peace. We need to give thanks to the Lord for peace. And so with that, we give thanks to the Lord, because His love does endure forever. So our next key that we have here is the key of the Word. And of course, with that, they're mentioned several things about the Word of God. First of all, the richness of the Word of God. The Word of God is deep. The Word of God has many uses. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, as it judges the thoughts and the purposes of the heart." Notice that it is living, it is active, it is piercing, it divides, it judges. Do we see all the things that it talks about there about the Word of God? This just scratches the surface of the richness of the Word of God. So these are just a few things that God's Word does. And with that, it can do so much more. So the richness of the Word of God. There's also wisdom from the Word of God. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For Hashem gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Let me say that again. Hashem gives wisdom from His mouth. What comes out of mouths? Words. Right? Yeah, and right now too many, but that's okay. Because God gives us wisdom, both knowledge and understanding from His mouth and from His Word. If any of you lack wisdom, what does God's Word say? He will give it to us generously. And has He not given us many words of wisdom already in the Bible? Yes. Yes, He has. And it's used for teaching and for admonishment. Micah 4:2 says, "Many nations will come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of Hashem and to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us about His ways and that we may walk in His paths. For from Zion will go forth the teaching, even the words of Hashem from Jerusalem.'" And so note here, I want you guys to kind of note what's going on here. We are taught His teachings and admonitions. And what does He use? He uses psalms, He uses hymns, He uses spiritual songs, He uses songs of thankfulness. So we are to sing songs to each other, remind each other of the praise songs. Because that is a great way to teach, right? So let's go ahead and let's sing to Him some more this morning.
When they see the house of the Lord, run into His peaceful kingdom, shout and lay they down their swords. Shining forth.
We have come up from the mountain. We're coming up to your mountain, Lord. We're here to give you praise. We're here to encourage each other with songs. And Lord, I thank you for music, Lord. How music works and fires on all the synapses in our brains and all the hemispheres and sections of our brain. There's something about singing and music and words when they're all mixed together, Lord. We remember them. Even the most forgetful Alzheimer's patient will remember music that they have heard. And Lord, we just ask that you bring these songs of remembrance to you, all the praises to you, Lord. All these things, Lord, this methodology, we're going to take note of it, and we're going to do it, Lord. In your name we pray, Yeshua. Amen. All right, so our final key that we have here. Now remember, there's more keys than just this, okay? There are more keys that we can put on our key ring, but we want to talk about the key to service. Here's the key to service. Do everything. All our words, all our deeds, everything in Yeshua's name while giving thanks to Him. Right? We're going to give thanks to Him. And the first way that we can do this is by speaking life. I am so tired of hearing people say, yeah, I believe in Yeshua, but woe is me. I believe in Yeshua, but this horrible thing is going to prevail. No, it's not. We need to speak words of life. And there's something that they're teaching now, and they've been teaching for a long time, in psychology, called something. It's called a self-fulfilling prophecy. When we speak the words enough, the words will do something. If we speak life over ourselves, then life will happen. If we speak death over ourselves, death will happen. And is this a psychological thing? No, this is a biblical thing, and psychology just happened to notice the truth, but they don't know where it comes from. Proverbs 18:20 through 21 says, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You want life? Speak life. Amen. You want death? Speak death. But today we need to speak life, because we have been given an abundant life by Yeshua, right? So we need to talk about His abundant life, not about the death of the adversary. So, in our speaking, also in our deeds. You know what's that old phrase? Action speaks louder than words? Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't tell me about it. Show me. Yeah. Show me, don't tell me. Well, Matthew 5 says, people don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So when we let our light shine, when we do the good stuff of God, people notice. Others will see it. It's not just a matter of, wow, they've got a bumper sticker on the back of the car. They must believe in Jesus. Yeah. Or they're not, you know, the driveway is empty when it's time to go to services. No. Oh, they talk about it. No, it's when you put your faith in motion. When we do what we talk about. In fact, our actions are going to speak louder than those words. Amen. They're going to speak louder than those words. So we need to have our deeds reflect the words of life that we speak. Yeah, my dad doesn't do it either. He doesn't put anything on his car. He goes, I'm losing my vision. I might cut somebody off by accident, and I don't want them to have an excuse to profane the name of Yeshua. So, and remember this, we're supposed to do everything in the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus. And so here's our challenge for this week. Where are your keys? Are they moving, you know, do you know where they're at? Where are those keys? And of course, we have some great keys here. We have love, we have peace, we have the Word of God, we have our act of service. And these are some really great keys for a successful life in Yeshua. Yeah, so let's go ahead and just pause for a moment.